Rogan Tail Dog, Josh Accardo. I am back, and I'm back in the YouTube space in LA again. I'm out here living the LA life. I got no underwear on. My balls are free. I'm in a Foley room where no one can hear me. And my guest is, I would call him a good friend of mine. You're more than a colleague to me now. Yeah. I have the one and only Sandy Danto on the show. You guys will know Sandy from Dating on Set. He played Mick the Monster in the second season, which already has over 550,000 views. So thank you all for clicking.
We get recognized a lot from
it's probably more the tits, but I'll take it. That was the whole point. Context for the viewers, listeners, whatever. Some of you might be watching this, but you're probably high as a kite and you're not really watching me. You're watching your visions. But Sandy is hilarious. You're very funny. There's something about you. When I first saw you years ago on stage, you did this really great thing. You were just kind of, you weren't just starting now. You're probably like a year in, year and a half in. You're a Comedy Store guy. He's a Comedy Store guy. And I was at the Hollywood Comedy Store in town, and you did this thing where you were singing along to a tape. It was like a Spanish song.
Oh, yeah. It's the song I Can't Live. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or without. It's called Without You.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey did a famous cover of it. But
it's an Eric Carmen song, right? Eric Carmen did
Harry
the original.
Harry Nilsson.
Harry Nilsson, yes.
Harry
oh,
Nilsson.
So yeah, yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So there's a Spanish version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so Sandy is a really distinct looking dude. And the way he looks and the way he was doing it was so fucking funny. Because there's very few people that I meet in comedy that are inherently funny.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are really great jokesmen and craftsmen, but in a regular conversation, they're fucking boring, or they don't have anything to say, or they're just not my type of funny. You're a dude who's actually just funny.
Thank you.
You know? So, I like, fell in love with Sandy immediately. So, when I started shooting Dating on Set, I was like, get this, where are you? Get the fuck out of here. Can I get you here? Because I need to work with you somehow, some way. And this is five, we just talked about this. This is 5 years in the making.
Yeah. We've been going back and forth. I was in New York.
Yeah.
Trying to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've been in LA.
Trying to do it with you. Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't believe I got you last minute. Literally, I was texting him 2 a.m. last night, the information to get him here, and now
he's here. My phone was broken for the previous 24 hours.
But now we're here doing it.
I shouldn't even be here
you
right
shouldn't,
now.
But we are. But we did it. The magic. The
we
magic
made it
happened.
Happen, yeah.
So your look, the way you look, do people ever go, you look like this, like you have like a John Belushi thing, or what do they say to you? When,
all the time.
Okay. And that's not a, you're not purposely doing that.
No, okay. Not at all. In fact, I've tried to get away from it a little bit, just because, you know, at first, you're just like, oh, this is cool.
When you're a newer comic, you're like,
yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, if I look like that person that was famous, then I'll be famous. But the more you go through it, you're just like, well, maybe I need to carve out a little bit.
Yeah,
my
own voice.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it's okay to allude to something that's established that people already love.
Well, you're an LA guy now, even though you're from the Midwest. So they're obsessed with this is like this meets this.
Right.
So having a little bit of something familiar helps you because you're dealing with a lot of one-sided brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at all the movies and TV shows that are out right now. It's all, if it's not the new this,
yeah,
it's this. You can't pitch a show without saying, it's All Dogs Go to Heaven meets Schindler's List. It's like you can't, without the reference point. So people, you know, I feel like I've been pitched as like, he's Belushi meets Zach Galifianakis. But I over the years, you know.
That is funny because you do have the old Zach Galifianakis body.
Yeah,
not the new Zach body.
I don't have the 17 model. I've got like the 2006 model Galifianakis body, yeah. But I feel like, you know, one thing people may or may not know about me is I'm constantly working out, and not because I want to look good. I'm married.
Yeah, what does it matter? I'm married now, too.
Exactly. And my wife likes my body the way it is, but I want to be...
You think she really likes the way it is?
She
says it. Well, she married you, too.
Yeah,
so
she married me. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good for you, dude. Yeah, and your wife's very pretty. I think I met her a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
She's beautiful.
Thanks, man.
Good score, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just beyond all the looks, the things that really matter, she's a good person, too.
Yeah. And it's hard to find one of those out here.
It really is. Well,
but she's a Michigan girl, right?
Her, yeah. I imported her from New York. We did long distance.
That's right. Yeah, that's how I met her in New York at that show we did. Okay, yes. Now it's all coming together for me. So in LA, where are you from? You're from Michigan in the Midwest?
I'm from a suburb of Detroit that is...
Livonia?
close. My dad had an office in Livonia.
I played Livonia quite often.
Oh, Joey's Comedy Club?
I used to headline Joey's, yeah.
I've done Joey's before.
Yeah. It's that a place quite the place.
Yeah, it is.
It was a place
I don't
where,
think it's there anymore.
No, no, it's done. So it used to be a place where the upstairs sat like 350 people.
Right.
It was huge. And the downstairs was half nightclub, part nightclub, part cigar bar, part something. It was like the place to be.
So like in Detroit, until recently, you could go out downtown, but you're taking a risk.
Sure.
So in all the surrounding little towns, suburbs, it's all these places that they're just like, people need to go out. We got to just do whatever it takes to attract everybody. So it's like hookah lounge / cigar bar / bowling alley / kitty play place / virtual reality arcade / fucking plaster playhouse. I don't know.
I mean, the one thing about stand-up, especially when you're a single guy doing stand-up, that you love when you're on the road is where a nightclub is attached to the comedy club.
Or even better, a strip club.
Oh, yeah, but that's rare.
It's rare, but there are a few occasions where that's
amazing too. Yeah. But the nightclub, because I've always been all right looking. So if the people from the show, if I'm doing
I glowed up.
You trend up with the glow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if the people from the show love my act and I'm all right looking, and they're all down at the nightclub, I used to meet so many girls at that club.
Absolutely, and you know what? What I learned from those days of my life is it's not even necessarily about being good looking. If they liked you on stage, they're gonna seek you out off stage.
You're a really likable guy on stage.
Yeah.
I would see women being like, I kinda wanna roll around with him.
Yeah, I have a certain je ne sais quoi.
If you will.
If you will. Come with me on this journey. This French journey. But you know, it took me a long time to figure out, you know,
what that intangible was,
or just like I got in my head like in high school and college a lot, like I'd like randomly get pussy, but I didn't know how it happened.
Yeah, it's like why. There was no rhyme or reason.
Right, right.
For
but
you.
It could never be with anyone that I was like actively seeking out.
Sure.
Like whenever there was a girl that I'd be too nice to her.
You
I
would
didn't
tense
know how
up.
To,
you would know
yeah,
how
yeah,
to play
exactly.
it straight up and but, just be in the moment. Yeah,
exactly. But then you learn, like you get to know yourself and you go through these experiences where you're just like, oh. All I have to do is just be myself and wait for somebody who's perceptive to it.
Yeah.
And then it's not a situation
And that picks it. Universe provides.
Right. Exactly.
Like, it's just a natural pecking order, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in those situations where you do well on the road and it's connected to another social environment.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah. You're just
game
like,
over.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm winning all day.
Yeah.
And I remember guys that were coming to the club to score would not understand
right.
why there was like five girls talking to me.
Right, right.
And it's because those five girls were at the club.
Right.
And not only is my act really personal, but also like, oh, now
same.
I'm chatting
yeah.
it up. And next thing you know, like they think they already know you.
Right.
So
like,
you've
is
skipped.
Is that one joke real?
So you
and they're
skipped.
Like touching your chest. And this guy, meanwhile, he's like, I brought her here. We've been friends for 6 years. I thought tonight was going to be the night. And
it
who
is
the
not.
Fuck is this extra guy? Doesn't even live in this town.
This fucking extra guy.
But also, you go to these towns, and there's a finite amount of dudes and women.
Yes!
And they get sick of each other. They're like, it's the same dating pool. And it's like, you introduce a variable into this
yeah.
environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, doesn't matter what you really look
no.
like, as long as you bring
something
new
to the table, it's different.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And they just, I love that, like, oh, so like, what do you, tell me about like New York. I
yeah,
just
yeah.
want to know about everything.
I want to come visit.
It's like skipping through
there
three
place,
dates.
Like, they're twirling their hair. Do you know where should I stay?
It's skipping three dates.
Suck.
When you see me
yeah.
on stage, it's like skipping three dates because I'm revealing quite a bit. So you think, your body, your mind gets tricked like, I know him. No, I fucking know him.
Right, right.
And next thing you know, they feel super comfortable around you because they already kind of know your story.
Yeah.
And you could have a one-nighter. And it doesn't feel like a one-nighter to them. So they don't feel
right.
ashamed.
It's
like oh, I know that guy.
It's like a fun-sized relationship.
A lot of those people still reach out to me. Like, oh, how
yes.
are you? Been thinking about it. They have kids. They
yeah.
have families now. And
I
they're like,
too.
How are you? It's so, oh, my God, I'm so glad you're doing well. Because they feel like there is a legitimate
right.
attachment there, which there
right.
is.
Well, with what we do, especially if you're vulnerable on stage and you're really open and honest about who you are, there is that. I mean, we don't know who the fuck they are.
Yeah, sure.
But there is that, it does, it skips you through. And I do a joke, when I'm on the road where I'm like, comedy show is a great date activity. Even like you are getting to know the person on stage, but you're also getting to know whoever you're with a lot more without even talking. You just see what they laugh at.
Sure.
And that tells you a lot about
the person. Oh, my God, yeah.
And if they laugh at the, you know, raunchy stuff.
Then you know you might have... That was one of my favorite things. Like, I am a total man whore from way back. Almost, I mean, pretty much had a problem.
I remember you telling me
I had to seek counseling
that.
For
it.
Yeah. So...
Which I accidentally went to immediately. I had to do some AA meetings for a little bit.
Do you drink now or now? You're
I do. It was
manageable.
It was a total. It was an on in L.A., which by the way, best place in the world to be in AA.
Yeah,
but
why is that though?
I mean, you never know who you'll see.
Oh, that's what
I mean. Can't break anyone's anonymity.
Of course, but you're like,
but
fuck
also
that
it's
guy.
Just like a yeah. It's just a really good social scene and very supportive and big.
Yeah,
it's a big city. There's a lot of people, and the more people, the more like. Minded or people you'll
you have connections with
but and also lots of very very beautiful women
which is hard in itself if I'm going to a slaw meeting and everyone's drop dead hot and I'm like let's just all make love why are we not here all making love
oh because it's
now it becomes making
love
who cares? So I ruined my whole life off this
and also really interesting characters like some of the meetings you go to it's like I've been sober for 3 hours now.
He has no watch on. He just looked at his wrist. If that gives you any indication of how sober he is.
And it's a cis guy wearing a bra and nothing else, you know?
That's
but,
phenomenal.
It's, I've been to some crazy ones and it was, you know, I figured my situation out and I still drink, but once in a while. Like,
so
I'm
what?
Just not...
Were you just like partying super hard out of the, just because of that lifestyle?
Yeah.
Comedy's hard. Like, I didn't even start drinking until I was 26.
Well, I started drinking at a very young age because I grew up in a suburb where it was like, you're cool if you get fucked up and
sure.
there's nothing else to do.
Were you like a really wild dude drinking too?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the kind of guy
I didn't
jump
know
off the top
until
of the roof
I was
into a pool and shit?
Yes. I didn't know until I was 26 that you're not supposed to drink as much as you can as fast as you can. I didn't know the object was to just
sustain a buzz,
like,
not just be obliterated
take the edge
immediately.
Off. Yeah. I thought the point was to like get blackout drunk and have other people tell you what happened.
Do you lose a lot of friends doing that? Are you a happy drunk? Are you a tolerable
drunk?
Are you obnoxious? I'm sure to some degree, but.
A little obnoxious, for sure.
Yeah.
As far as I look back and feel embarrassed, but I'm more of just like a mischievous little kid drunk.
Okay.
But now.
It's like a little bit of silliness, a little absurdity.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, not,
but now
definitely
I'm just
not threatening.
Like, yes. Okay. Not threatening, yes. I'm not like a creepy, like, hey, let's go into the closet.
Yeah,
and
like,
bang,
all, like all your demons just really come out. Like, you know, a lot of people have that happen.
Yes.
With me, what happens to me is I'm a super engaging, happy, drunk.
Same.
I don't retell stories. My
Same.
Wife will say, oh, I've caught you that once, but you've been around me almost 8 years. If you heard me repeat a story once, I'm doing pretty well. But
you got to repeat stories once.
I mean, every now people ask me a question, you know, whatever. Right. I have some built-in bits.
So, you got to have bits in life, too, you know.
So the problem I have is this. I am not a tough guy shit starter. But after I drink vodka straight. So after the sixth one, I become really sane, really balanced. But when someone, like I've had guys like bump me and talk shit to me for no reason, nothing I've done to them.
Right.
And I become swing first guy because I've always been a swing first guy.
Right.
It's just when I'm sober, I would choose to ignore certain situations because they wouldn't be worth it. Six drinks, Josh, is like, this is all worth it. If I can throw him through the window, this is worth it. We have
I could
to
win
do
$1 million. Who knows?
We have to do this. So I have checked my
Everybody
drinking.
In this bar will put me on their shoulders like, yeah, he was ruining our night too.
Yeah, because that's how I feel. It's like, this guy is going to do this to somebody else. He should learn a lesson.
See, I feel more that way sober, and when I get drunk, I buddy up with that guy.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, so let's take on everyone else. You first. I'm more
you
of,
first and you're
yeah,
gone?
Yeah,
somewhere
exactly.
Else.
Yeah, yeah. But I was more of an instigator just for the mischief. Like, I would yell like, hey, bitch! hey, bitch. And it'd be, oh, no, not you, her. Sorry, she's my friend. It's a joke we have. And I would do that until the guy, the girl was with, be like, all right, man, enough.
Hey, what's the problem,
I'd be
bro?
Like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it would be like a challenge for me to diffuse the situation.
Yeah, I love that.
And I always managed to get out of it somehow. Yeah. But I came very close to getting punched.
But also, you don't look threatening.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you can handle yourself.
Which, you know.
It's misleading, probably.
Has its advantages and disadvantages.
On stage, I'm sure it helps because you can say probably crazier shit than me and get away with it.
Right, right.
Like, I look like a guy that might hit you.
Well, I think there's a there's a physical threatening issue, but there's also like,
yeah,
guys look at you and they're just
fuck him.
I don't like the cut of this guy's jib.
Exactly. It's the nose, too. People hate this nose. I got this fucking half-eaten bratwurst Italian nose, and people just see it and they just get angry at it.
I think it's the nose-smile combination. Yeah, right. You do have a winning smile.
Why, thank you, Sandy. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, it is the nose the nose-smile combo. Yeah. I'll go with that. I like that analogy. So you're in high school. You're a party animal. It sounds like your dad was a professional and probably did well. I mean, Livonia's a very nice area.
He's a podiatrist.
Oh, so he's done
a
well.
Foot doctor, yeah.
Okay.
He has a practice, I think, still in Livonia and one in Waterford, which is.
So he has two practices. The guy's doing his thing.
Yeah.
You were probably raised in an environment we probably didn't need for a whole lot.
I wasn't sheltered in the way of what goes on in the world. Like, I wasn't. I didn't have a firewall around what I could learn about.
Yeah.
But I was sheltered in so much as, you know,
geography.
Any affluent kid. What the world is really like in a experiential sense.
Yeah, because it's a good question because usually people that come from those kind of backgrounds, they get into like improv. They don't get into stand-up.
Well,
stand-up is a desperate, lonely, depressing, wonderful thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain level of rot there.
Well, funny you say that because in college I did get into improv. And sketch.
What college you go to?
Indiana University.
Oh, so like big basketball school.
Yeah.
Except they sucked
when I was there, and I'm a huge basketball fan.
Oh, really?
So disappointing.
Oh, that sucks.
I got there a year removed from Bobby Knight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you were like, you were right on the back heels of the old legacy.
Of all the people being like, I remember when, and
you're just like,
me not
fuck
getting
you.
To experience that. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Is it a cool school, though?
It's a really
fun
really
school.
Cool. So fun. Although I'll say this, looking back, I wish I had more of an academic experience. And it's a great, and I say that because it's a great school academically, but I didn't take as, it took me until senior year to realize, oh, I can take advantage of all these things. Because it's so weird that even before 18, you got to know, you know, what you want to. Just, you're expected basically at like 15, 16 to know what you want to do for the rest of your life.
I've talked to someone about this.
The steps towards doing that.
Yeah.
And then basically there is a little bit of room for error.
Yeah.
There's a margin of error, but basically you got to like have all the prerequisites and the good scores and the extracurriculars to get into the right school for the right thing that you want to do. And then
that's an amazing point.
How are you supposed to, like,
there's no
I'm
way
33 and I'm still unsure about things I want out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Cause
things
I pursued,
change.
You're completely right. Cause I've pursued reading and travel and culture when I turned 30.
Right.
I played football in college. That's all I wanted to do. I
really?
Wanted nothing to do. Yeah, I don't
Where'd
want nothing
you go?
To do with school. I went to a small school called Mesa, but
okay.
I want nothing to do with school. Like you're saying,
right.
Academically, I was like, why am I here? This doesn't make any
right.
sense to me.
It wasn't that for me. I wanted to learn, but I just didn't know what I wanted to focus on.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't learn everything about everything.
No.
You know, and also, the environment.
It's asking a lot of an
18-year-old,
right?
It's asking a lot of a 30-year-old.
Sure.
You know? But I grew up in a social environment where you're like expected to be a doctor, a lawyer, or something.
A professional.
Yeah. No room for dreaming.
Sure. Was your dad like really, your parents strict?
No. Actually, when I told them I wanted to do comedy, they were very, very supportive because before that, I was desperately wanting to switch to an art school. And they were like, no, artists don't make any money.
Yeah.
Which if they had known anything about it, if I had learned like graphic design and web design, which is what a lot of art schools require you to learn.
A decent amount,
I'd be
right
making
now,
way more. Because then I could just do that on the side.
Of course. Can you imagine how much that would be great for your career too if you knew how to do that?
Yeah.
I think about all the time. Like if I knew how to really edit well and do graphic design, I'd have the fucking greatest career ever because I'd be able to do all my own content.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like I learned film editing the last two semesters of college, and that was it.
Do you still have that? You apply that
a
to your stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
You have to really
do
it a lot for it
to
stick.
When I first moved out here, yeah, I did a lot more. But
so you did improv in college.
I did improv in
college.
That was
your first taste of comedy.
And I loved it, but I didn't love the people I did it with. And so I did it a little bit more, and still, you know, it's the kind of thing where you have to be on the, you have to know what people are going to be like without talking to them.
Yeah.
So if you do it with people that you don't share sensibilities with or don't know that well, then it's not going to be a great experience for you. And I loved the performance aspect of it, but I didn't love working with other people. And I did sketch in college, and mm-hmm. I'm friends with some of those people still, but I didn't love the experience of there was no one that I like clicked with and was like, yeah, let's write the.
Yeah, yeah, now I hear you.
So I was like, you know what? I'll do stand up. I read a really outdated book saying that like stand up is the your way in.
Yeah.
It was written in the 80s, obviously.
Of course, because that was the way in.
Right.
I mean, you're a regular at a club that is notorious for
right.
shaping that kind of scene in the 80s, you know?
Right, right. And when I first started working there, I was also working at National Lampoon.
Okay.
So I was like working for these two once prestigious, now maligned institutions.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great way to describe it, actually.
I was a has-been before I got to be a parolee.
You're associated by association.
Exactly, exactly.
I find it to be, with stand-up especially, what's really rare, I've only had a handful of stand-ups on. I'm only friends with a handful of stand-ups because, compare and contrast to improv, what people don't see that are just fans of both aspects, both the artistic forms, if you will, mm-hmm. is that with stand-up, if you do poorly, you do poorly. If you do well, you do well, which after you do it a certain amount of time, you become self-absorbed. It's a very self-absorbed right. thing. So a lot of guys I don't get along with because they only know how to talk about one thing. A lot of them are probably on the spectrum.
Yeah.
A lot of them have huge social anxieties and social issues where you try to have a conversation and don't know how to have one.
Right.
Or they're so obsessed with just stand-up that there is no natural flow of a convo that can be funny. I mean, I love joke structure. I could talk with you about joke structure all day. I love that shit. But when it's just like all day stand, you heard the joke to that guy. Oh, you hear like so-and-so got this. It becomes that.
Right. I have friends, comic friends that I hang out with once in a while that are very keyed in as to what's going on in the scene all the time, the entertainment. And you know what? I love performing. I love being funny. I love laughing. There are a lot of comics. They just won't laugh.
So
they're like
odd,
over
right?
it. And I'm over it to an extent, but there's no better feeling than laughing.
Of course.
Maybe coming.
Well, you're lucky enough
laugh
to see a lot
time.
Of great. I mean, you and I are very lucky.
Right.
We're around clubs that the best acts in the world come to those clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're lucky enough to go, I feel like laughing. Let me go watch the top guy in my game do it. You know, it's not like I'm sitting at open mics chuckling all day.
Right. But it also just like being around funny people like off stage.
It rubs off.
It totally rubs off. And then you get into a thing where it's like you have to raise your game.
Sure.
But the gossip, if you want to call it that, or just like the insider information,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's doing what show, who's getting cast for this, who's being scouted, this and that. I try to avoid all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll hang out with certain friends that are keyed in on it and they'll fill me in, but like I try to not actively seek that stuff
out. It is completely exhausting and overwhelming to think about that stuff. And there are people in the game that are solely in the game for that, and I'm sure you see this in LA a lot more than I do. But there are people that are actors that go, well, fuck, dude, I'm not necessarily handsome enough to be a leading man, and I can't get any parts, but I'm a good-looking guy. I'm definitely the best-looking stand-up. So let me get good.
That's why I got into it.
Let's get the best 10 minutes together or 5 minutes. And so all these guys have are a good 5 minutes just hoping to get a TV credit out of it, right?
Or it's somebody who's done a little bit of TV,
mm-hmm.
and they're their team
they want to supplement
has told them you're funny, you should try doing this. And I just joined SAG.
Don't you fucking hate that phrasing, team?
Yes.
My brand.
Oh,
my team. Get
shit.
The
yeah.
fuck out of my
I
face
it.
You mutt motherfucker. And your
and
team
I just got an email from SAG that they have like SAG stand-up comedy workshops, and it's like, get your 10 minutes together, and it's just like,
so I got my 10 minutes together, culture. You know, blood, sweat, and tears. Right. I've waited in line. Right. I've cleaned puke. I've mopped piss. I've had to seat jerk-offs. Like, yeah, I got my 10 minutes. Don't worry about me.
Right.
Your
and,
workshop.
And having to do those things, people are like, oh, but, you know, that helps you for your No. You know what? You experience the full range of emotions.
Sure.
And can draw from those experiences for acting. And, I mean,
there's something to be said for that,
yes,
having to do those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, in New York, I'm sure, well, are there any, like, Broadway people that are, you're just like, oh, they're such a, they're just, yes, they have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But 6 of those minutes are sing-song jokes.
You know,
the
no, there's not.
Like,
there's not.
No, not at
no,
all.
No, because it's a place where you go to get really good at what you identify as.
Right, and that's why I tried to move out there.
Yeah, because as an actor, you're fucking in the theater scene.
Right.
You're taking your classes. You're getting the special like one-on-ones you need.
Right.
It's a really, because all the best teachers are there.
It's more art-focused.
With comedy, you're in, there's 10 clubs in a 12-mile radius.
Right.
You're at every one of those clubs. You're
right.
Meeting, you know, there's no time for you to dabble. You know,
right.
You have to go after it.
Right. But that being said, I think L.A., while it has that sort of, I don't want to call it this, like, the superficial aspect of comedy, because that does exist. Where
sure,
it's like
sure,
people
sure.
Who are like,
it gets a bad rap,
it's a
but
means
it exists.
To an end.
Yeah,
but there, I mean, it's become much more serious and hard nosed.
Well, the Comedy Store alone in the last 5 years have really stepped their game up. I mean,
oh yeah,
they were at for a minute about 8-9 years ago. I thought they were going to fold. Honestly,
it was close.
It just
yeah.
was not a great scene. A lot of guys stopped coming in.
Very bitter culture.
Very, very bitter. And now
that's when I started out there.
Yeah, you got to really see the beautifulness of bitterness there.
Yeah.
I mean,
one of the rooms would be closed. One of the rooms would have like 15 people.
Yeah,
and the other room was a bringer show. And now all three rooms
sold
are packed,
out all the
are,
time.
Are
Your social media is ran incredible. You guys are doing a great job there.
Yeah,
I think a
cool.
lot of other clubs are kind of following suit with what you guys are doing with your social media, because that is attracting people from all over to come to the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the only bummer about it is this. Like, I'm a guy that has some credits, not enough to get me pop-in status at clubs. I'm a guy working enough to make money, but not a guy working enough for people to go, oh, I know that guy, or let's get that guy in here. You know, CAA is not banging down my door to take a
right.
meeting with me here in L.A. The bummer part about it is, if you're a really funny, innovative guy, but you don't have that name recognition, it's really hard to walk in the Comedy Store now and do it,
mm-hmm.
unless you work there and you're hanging out every night, which I'm totally, if you're doing
yeah.
that, then you deserve it. But what I'm saying, there's probably some seasoned guys that probably could get on and get to it, but it's a very celebrity-oriented
yes,
world we live in now.
It's not necessarily a meritocracy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great word.
It kind of used to be, but the
kind
guy
of used to be
who was running it had like a very skewed sense.
Definitely, I know what you're
but
talking about.
I miss him. He was you know what? He really he had a skewed sense in his head, but he really gave a shit.
Yeah, he really wanted to put the you know to see people develop. You got a sense of that a
yes,
little bit.
Yes.
Even if it wasn't me, if I didn't appreciate the way he did it, at least, like you said,
right.
he gave a shit.
Yeah, he gave
you know?
A shit.
Yeah.
That was his whole world. Like, when he went home, he was thinking of ways to, like,
yeah.
get this person
it was his whole world, yeah.
Or squash the beef between these two people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was more like a den mother. Like, if
yes,
it was, we were a whorehouse,
exactly.
he was
yeah.
like, you
but
know.
Then the new guy came in, who's great, and he's just like,
business savvy.
You know what? Maybe we should be trying to go for a successful business. And he's done a great job.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I was like trying to, like, hey, is that guy around? Like, I want to meet that guy. I want
yeah.
some FaceTime with
and
that guy.
And he's a cool dude. He's
yeah.
a friend of mine. It's tough because I used to get a lot more spots when it wasn't doing as well.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you can't blame
it's a give
him
and take.
For it. Yeah,
no,
it's
a give
tough.
And take.
I'm lucky I got in when I got in because
oh,
now
yeah,
it's
so hard now.
Yeah, it's there's just less room.
Yeah, there really is. And in L.A., that's the problem with L.A. For a comic is that they don't really have the opportunities for a young guy to earn his keep. That's why guys drive down to Irvine, drive
right.
down to San Diego. San Diego,
I'm
man, I was just
down
there.
To Irvine tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So is this worth it? I guess we get a free meal. Okay.
Free meal is free meal, and stage time.
Yeah.
San Diego now has 4 rooms, and they're going 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
I mean, there are dudes that have no talent getting so much work.
Yeah.
Stage time, rather. Not paid work, just stage right. time. But that is essential to the process.
I mean, you might as well start out there.
Yeah.
I feel like I really hurt my stock by starting here because I was, you know, I had a job in comedy at National Lampoon, and I was going
as a writer, or what were you doing there?
As a writer and performer, and
okay,
producer.
Sweet.
It was a
jack
vanity,
of all trades. Yeah,
I was a jack of all trades. I majored in communications and telecommunications, so I pretty much could do it all.
Oh man, you are a champion.
I was a double major in college, so you know.
Double majors in communications.
They trusted me.
Equals dollars.
Oh yeah.
And if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
And I feel like I had some industry connections and I was seen in stand-up. You know, it's one thing to have... When you're young, you have comedic sensibilities and you can write.
Yeah.
And you can come up with funny ideas mm-hmm. that can be brought to life. But I think as a stand-up, it takes some maturity to really get
it
good.
Oh, it takes experience, yeah.
Even if you're funny up there, it's very rare that a stand-up breaks out in their early 20s.
It's the best I've ever felt on stage, and I'm 36 now.
Yeah.
And I started very, very young.
Yeah.
And I never had that voice that I have now. I never did. Because I never understood myself until now. And if you don't understand yourself, you're fucked.
Same.
Especially
I think there was a comedy, specifically,
my opinion.
There was a time in my life that I think I was a little funnier, which is hard to, like, measure yourself up against. But I see, maybe I romanticized this one time. I was very unsettled in my life.
Yeah.
And things were very uncomfortable for mm-hmm. me. And I really, like, every time I was on stage was very cathartic for me. I felt like I was just like really in it every second.
It was your safe place, right?
Yes. It was the one place where I could just, like, scream. I'm not a loud comic, but
no.
I could just, like, get up there and, like, all of it could pour out of me.
Yeah. You probably weren't as polished.
Way
but you
less
probably
polished,
just enjoyed
yes.
yourself
and I didn't
a lot
know
more
my voice.
And were connected a lot more.
Right. I didn't know my voice as well. I wasn't as polished. But I was just, you know, up there every moment, like, seizing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like the game slowed down.
Yeah.
I can
You're like
see...
that salty veteran a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's going on. You know what this guy's, you know, like you see
right.
the audience, you understand
I can't
what you're
jump
doing.
Out of the gym anymore.
No, no.
But I can make the right play.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. Well, how old were you first actually did stand-up, and was it in Indiana?
In Indiana, I would do these characters that were basically doing stand-up monologues.
Okay, so you're
for,
still...
like, local access TV
All right. okay.
and sketches. And I didn't actually do it until I moved out here.
Mm-hmm. Like, actually...
It took me a couple months of, like, building up the courage to go do an open mic, and then I brought all my friends to
Of course,
to
you padded it, yeah.
Like, I basically... And it wasn't even me asking them to. I was like, hey, I'm going to do this.
And they were just so
supportive
and so into it.
I had, like, 25 people come to this
yeah.
open mic. And it was, looking back, humiliating, because I'm sure all the other comics were just like,
what an annoying guy. And then they all leave when you get off.
Yeah, yeah.
I just hate you.
But I did well because all my friends were there. And I think without that, I probably wouldn't have had the confidence
to
I would
keep
have been
coming
like,
back.
Oh, I'll do it again in a few weeks.
How do you but know then... so many people? And what made you move to L.A.?
So,
from college. I'm assuming you moved
back
to college,
yeah,
right?
Right from college, I was either going to move to New York or L.A.
Because you knew you wanted to pursue something in comedy.
Yes.
Because of your experience with
to a greater
sketch.
Extent, entertainment.
Okay.
You know, in college, I made sketches and I was like, I want to do comedy.
Yeah.
I want to write it. I want to perform it. And I went to New York the summer before senior year of college, and I had a fucking awesome time.
Right. That's what happened to me, man. I got up. I was in La Jolla doing it. I need to move. I knew it, I just outgrew it. And I said, okay, let's pick L.A. or New York.
Yeah.
And I happened to be really good friends with a guy who was in town for 3 months with his wife, this guy named Joe Matarese. And he's like, you got to go. You're a New York guy. Go to New York. I'll get you spots. He got me 5 spots in a night. At that point, I'd barely done 5 spots in a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there wasn't as many rooms back then.
Right.
It was probably 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, I got to move here. Because all I thought about was I want to be a great stand-up. All
right.
this other shit that I'm doing now didn't come into play until a couple years down the road, which probably would have suited me better here.
Right.
But.
Yeah. In retrospect, my stand-up would have been helped greatly by going to New York first. But I got a job out of college here in L.A.
Oh, really?
At National Lampoon.
Oh, so they,
I got,
okay.
so,
they saw your
so
stuff
the,
and they picked you up as an
well,
intern or what?
Something like that.
Okay.
I met the Hillel rabbi by way of a friend's dad.
Who's that?
At Indiana University, the rabbi of Hillel.
Oh, because like you're Jewish. You're Jewish. Hillel. That's right. Okay. I'm a Jewish, yeah. You're a Jewish.
and, you know, that's the connections.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what all the haters say.
Sure.
And she told me to email her brother, who was the CEO of National Lampoon at the time. I got an internship, and within a week of working there, they're like, we want to hire you.
That's awesome.
I mean, still, you got to do your internship for the summer, so we're not going to pay you until the summer's over.
Yeah, but you got a job if you want
it. Yeah. And so I was like, cool. And so I was like, stay here, and then started interning for Pauly Shore.
That's really?
I got in at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And,
how do you like Pauly? He's a nice guy.
He's one of my closest friends.
Really?
I've only interacted with him. We have a very interesting relationship.
When you say that, what do you mean?
Well, I've gone on the road with him for almost my entire comedy career.
That's hilarious. And
I'm going to Philly with him this weekend.
He does a lot of his crowds are crazy too. I just remember when I was here living, I remember being like,
he has rabid fans for sure.
Oh yeah.
But in what he describes as the tertiary market.
What does that mean?
Third tier. Like I'll do all right in Chicago, but in Peoria I'll fucking sell out every show.
I love it. I love the impression. It's so great.
I've spent a lot of time
with him. And he wasn't hard to get along with. I remember him being like, he's a nice guy, but he keeps everyone at arm's length.
Yes.
He definitely knows who he is. He doesn't want to deal with you for the most part. In a nice way. He's not like mean to anybody, but
he's been around comics his entire life. His entire life. And he knows all the different personality types.
Yeah.
And and to a greater extent, he's been in Hollywood his entire life, so he knows all that. Mm-hmm. And so he just, you know, he knows who to stay away from.
Sure.
And who to, like, or he just keeps everybody at an arm's length. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to like for him to warm up to you. I remember
I don't think I've ever met anybody who was his friend.
I'd work 9 to 7 at National Lampoon.
Yeah.
And then go to his house and work at his office.
As his assistant?
Yeah, and like the third day, he's like, dude, next time if you want to come back, you got to smile a couple of times. But it's tough. He's friends with everybody in the industry.
Yeah.
And just like, he's got a lot of friends. Like when we go to different towns, he always knows somebody there.
Sure.
But it's tough because he's a single guy in his 40s.
Yeah.
And it's like all his, like,
well, how old is he now?
All his friends from growing up, he's 49.
Okay, so I'm 50.
So all his friends from growing up have families.
Yeah,
like,
it must be
so
hard.
Some of them might have branches.
Sure,
I know,
right?
So it's like, he has comic friends. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I have a friend who said, you only mature as far as you would at the time you got famous, and then you're stunted, and that's kind of like, you know, he's like, still kind of like in his 20s, you know? He's definitely matured a lot, in the time that I've known him, though. Mm-hmm. Because I started going on the road with him in like his late 30s,
mm-hmm.
and he was still like sort of in that.
Yeah, that mindset. Yeah.
Not like he's not.
That must
like
be
a
so fun though.
Partier,
but it must be so fun when you're a guy just moving to LA.
It was
and
great.
You get a taste of
the
scene
first,
through
like,
him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's Mr. Hollywood.
Until
no way.
Like, yeah. Until I started to settle down with my wife, it was like
Party Central.
It was party. He would have to be like,
you have to sell his merch for him
party.
Too?
Yeah, yeah. Dude, don't party so much.
He didn't tell you that?
Yeah, yeah. But he's not like a huge partier. He's like, and that kind of taught me like, you. That's kind of how I learned, like,
you have
you
a good
drink,
time without,
you
yeah.
don't get super fucked up.
Yeah.
It's like, I was going out there to like,
mangle this fuck
yeah,
shit up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To
it's
burn
like
the bar down.
In a China shop, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sandy Dante is coming to town. Hey, old Sandy Dante came in here and he fucking broke all my shit, man.
But we love him for it. But we love him
But he,
for
what
it.
A great kid, huh? What a great kid. So you open up for him, mm-hmm. and then you help push the merch. People want to take a photo, you do that. So you kind of play both hats. People go, you're so funny, but then you go, you take a photo of me and Pauly.
Right.
Is that kind of when you get further along in your career, as much as you're so thankful for the opportunity, does it become kind of like, oh, fuck, now I gotta. I wish they were asking for pictures of me.
Yeah, I definitely, and they do. And
of course,
they do.
Of course.
But definitely there was a middle time where I was just like, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore.
Are you the only one on the show with him?
Or
is there like
I'll
a middle
feature
date?
And he has,
oh, okay, all right. So there'll be an opener.
Sometimes
that
he brings
else.
Two people on the road.
Oh, cool.
Sometimes it's just me, and he'll get a local person.
What's your favorite club you play with him so far? Ever?
He took me to Australia.
Oh, my God.
The comedy store in Sydney is amazing.
That's associated with the comedy store here?
No.
It's a different. Okay.
There's the club in Melbourne. I'm trying to think.
The women are unreal looking, huh?
Unreal.
And they love Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the only place where an American accent can score you pussy. Nowhere else. No, everyone hears
the
hate
your American accents, like the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone else fucking hates it. I've been all over Europe. You hear that American, they fucking want to spit in your face. But in Australia, the women still go, oh, okay, let's. What are you about?
You're exotic.
You're exotic.
You're exotic from Iowa.
The club is incredible.
I forget. It's like it's not the Comedy Zone. It's like something like that in Melbourne.
Okay.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think where else.
That flight is not so bad from here, but from New York, that would be.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's how miserable I am. I go, like, how long's that flight? what a great experience.
I can never think about the result. I'm always just like, I just put in a tape for SNL, and I'm just like, I don't want to move to New York right now. I like it here in LA. Like, I'm just like, and I'd be like making money, but I'd have to live in a studio apartment. And I'm just like ahead of myself.
You already got the gig and complaining about
it. Yeah, yeah. I'm already focusing on the negative, and I haven't even filled out the release yet.
Comics are so miserable.
It's insane.
And that's the one thing that makes you, I mean, I was telling my buddy today about that. Like, I like being irritated and angry.
Me
but
too.
I don't want it to consume me. I want it to be my headwind, not my tailwind, to quote Jimmy Iovine. I mean, that's the reality of it.
I revel in a little bit of anger and frustration. Mm-hmm. I truly do. But you got to balance enjoying that moment of, like, being in the fire.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And trying to figure out how to make it inspire you, and then just not consume you.
Yeah.
Because there was definitely a time where it's like, oh, this makes me funnier being mad and being.
It's a myth.
And so I was just like, oh, I'll just be mad.
Be angry, and it just takes so much out of you, and you're so ineffective at that point, right?
I'm trying to work on my road rage because I genuinely do enjoy, like, screaming at other cars and, like, getting up next to the car that pissed me off and just staring them down and beeping. But, you know. It
Someone
started to consume
shoot you.
Me.
Yeah, and it's
no,
going to...
No, I had a rock bottom.
You know what I mean?
I had a serious rock bottom.
What happened?
Me and my wife, we go to the same gym. It's a climbing gym.
Okay.
You know, like...
Oh, with the walls climbing. And stuff, yeah.
And so she met me there from work one night, and we were going to get dinner from this place. It's like in a strip mall. Great Middle Eastern food. And there's some shady businesses in there. And I pull in the first parking spot, there's a Sprinter van backed up into a spot, and it like starts to pull out, but I'm just pulling in and she's right behind me in her car.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like a standoff.
Really?
And we're yelling at each other, windows down, and I'm just like, just go, man, just go. You won. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And so he peels out, and then I start to go, and then he breaks short to where I almost hit him.
Uh-huh.
He gets out of his car and he takes a swing at me.
Inside your car.
Inside my car. And I ducked it. I was just like, and my wife had to watch it.
Oh, see, that's what happened.
And it was
that's
traumatic
the embarrassing
for
part.
Her.
If you
and
were
I was
alone,
like, what are you doing, man? You won. You won. What are you doing? He's like, watch yourself around town. And I was just like,
what are you going to do? Get my fucking social security
right,
number,
right,
asshole?
Right.
Watch me where?
Oh, yeah. Memorize my fucking license plate right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
let's
yeah. Because you look like a genius. I'm sure you're like
but
fucking
at that
Goodwill
point,
Hunting.
I was just like, she's.
It's embarrassing because I've gotten an altercation in front of she wasn't my wife then, she was my girlfriend. But that's just amateur night, man. That's some of the most embarrassing white trash shit you can ever do. And like, my wife doesn't need to see that. My wife, my girlfriend then didn't need to see that. And you feel like, damn, what if, one, what if he hit you?
Right.
And fucked you up?
Right.
Like, and you know, like he caught you with a good one, and next thing you know, you're asleep in your car, and he keeps beating on you. Now, what does she do?
Right.
Besides call 911.
Right.
She's going to probably get out and yell at him, and then she's in danger.
Yeah. And he had the vibe like he was connected to some sort
of shady business. Yeah.
I mean, the only people that drive Sprinter vans are.
What
are
is
like,
a Sprinter van?
It's like, do you know what I'm talking about? It's like the kind of vans that they either have like refrigeration in, or it's like
surveillance
instead
teams.
instead of a limo, it's like decked out inside. It's
like
a comfortable
place, yeah,
and then there's a driver.
Okay,
front.
Okay, yeah.
Or it's like companies have it with their signs
insignia
on the side.
Okay, yeah.
Like
I understand.
Florists will
yeah.
have Sprinter vans.
Okay, yeah.
Or like tour groups.
It's almost like the creepy white van, right? You shouldn't have windows on it.
It's the updated version of
the creepy white van. Okay.
They rebranded.
Yeah, they rebranded.
Now it's Sprinter.
They polished a turd running. And put yeah, a new name on exactly. it. It's a Sprinter van. I'm almost like, oh, should I get one of these Sprinter vans? Sounds pretty cool. So now every time you see a Sprinter van, you're like, is this that fucking guy?
Yeah.
There's a fucking Sprinter van parked in front of your house. That's that fucking
I
guy.
I pee a little.
Plug where you're at. Let them know where they can follow you and see you and all that.
I'm going to be in...
This will probably be out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just to give you a heads up.
So I'm going to be at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Awesome.
August 4th and 5th with Adam Ray.
Go see him. He's great.
I'm going to be with Adam Ray in Tahoe.
Nice.
At Harvey's at the Improv, September 20th through 24th.
And if they follow you on Twitter, that's where all the stuff's announced. Do you have a site?
I have a website, sandydanto.com.
And it's spell that for everybody. I know how to spell
it. S-A-N-D-Y-D-A-N-T-O.
Oh, it's D-Y.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was D-A-N.
Wait.
Your last name.
D-A-N-T-O.
Oh, cool. Sandy is S-E-N-D-Y.
Yeah,
see,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I'm an asshole.
No, it's okay.
I'm a
I got
prick.
Confused about
I totally
my own
confused
name for a second.
Myself. I was like, oh, that's all one. What the fuck is he spelling? The inner old man was like, what the fuck is this Jewish guy spelling?
That's a good thing about my last name. Not necessarily Jewish. I can blend in.
Oh, yeah.
People
think
I'm
Italian
or
yeah.
Armenian all
yeah.
the time.
So sandydanto.com.
Just in case there's a race war.
You can
just
fit in anywhere.
Yeah.
You just mesh in.
I'm going to go with them.
And what's your Twitter?
At sandydanto. Same with Instagram.
How are you with that? Are you more focused on Instagram or Twitter or either or? What do you
I've kind of lost interest in Twitter lately just because it's so low reward these days.
Yeah. You're right. It's not much interaction.
I'm good on the gram.
Yeah.
I put a story up. I've got a few different like series that I do on there. I do
nice.
One where I'm at the gym and I dance on the treadmill.
Oh, I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna follow you now.
I got a kid
not following
that
you
I
now
work
anyways.
With.
Oh, really?
Me and him have a funny dynamic that we make videos together.
Like a little kid?
Yeah, 11.
Little Sandy.
His name's Leo, yeah.
It'd be great if he looked like you. Mustache
People
and all.
People ask if he's my son. Like, I've had to take him to auditions, and they're like, your son? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's my tyke.
Yeah, I need to support. I need to put food in his mouth so that I get
Book
the part.
This fucking
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. He
Book
gets
me.
The part, I don't.
All right, man. I love you, dude.
I love you.
You're like
too.
One of my favorite
Thank
guys in LA.
Me.
No, you're the best. I'm so happy we got to do this, I want to do it all the time.
Me too.
Yeah. Thanks for having me interview you, and thanks for being here to have you.
Thanks for having me have you.